Paul said this to the Thessalonian church. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. It's a lovely word. The Greek word for it is a hapazo. In the Latin, it was translated as rapturo. And from there, we get our English word rapture. It's not so important about what the word is, because one of the great accusations against those who believe in a rapture is that you can't find the word in the scriptures. Well, that's true, but I've explained where it comes from. But the word literally means to snatch or to seize and carry away. It has in it the idea that it's to seize by force. It's a seizing out of this world, and we'll explain that in just a moment. It's used about 14 times in the New Testament, and it always conveys the same thing: the removal from here to another place. That you cannot escape. So that's the first thing we can learn about the rapture. I want to talk about who are the participants in the rapture, because that's important to understand. Well, the first one, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's intimately involved in the rapture of the church. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's a wonderful picture that is already in to the Jews was not that difficult to understand. You know, it's a picture of a Jewish wedding. You know, in a Jewish wedding, when a young couple had been engaged and it was time for them to get married, the bridegroom's father, who held the contract of marriage, would send it by a servant to the household, young girl who's waiting to be called to the marriage. He would send it there with a servant saying, the time has come for the marriage to take place. He would shortly be followed by the bridegroom, the husband. And he would try to arrive at midnight. And there he would collect his bride and he would take him back to the father's home in order for the marriage ceremony to take place. That's exactly what the rapture's about. You know, it was the father's responsibility to authorize the collecting of the bride. Unless the son had prepared adequately for his new bride, he wasn't allowed to correct the bride. Isn't what the scripture says when the disciples said, Lord, when is all this going to happen? And he said to the disciples, it is in the father's hands. He didn't know when the church would be collected. Not in his day, I'm sure he does now. But he's preparing that place that John's Gospel says for every believer in Christ. It is a wonderful picture. One of the things that always amazes me is that Christ not only laid aside his glory to come down to earth to die for my sin, but when he comes to collect his bride, he doesn't send another. He comes himself. It's the Lord himself who will descend. Tells me something of how precious we are to him. The meeting place will be in the air. That's a lovely word, that word meet. It is a word that is used as a picture of somebody who is coming to visit a dignitary. The dignitary would come out to greet them. And then that dignitary, in the whole context of where the Greek indicates, will take them back to his own house. So you have this wonderful picture that the collection is there, the bride is on the way, Christ has come to meet, there will be that wonderful meeting in the air, and then he takes us back to be with him in glory. It's a wonderful picture. The meeting, it tells us, is in the air. You know, there are three Greek words for air in the Greek language. One gives us about halfway up the mountains to where Mount Everest might be. and then there's the next area of the atmosphere, and then there's the great atmosphere further on. And that word that's used here is the word that means just about halfway up Mount Everest, that area of the air. So it tells me one thing, that the Lord's descent will be very close to the earth. You know, he's coming into Satan's domain, because that's the same word that's used for Satan, who is the prince and power of the air. Christ comes right into Satan's domain, and he snatches those believers out of Satan's grasp, and he takes them back to be with himself. It's a wonderful picture that we can learn from word studies in these languages. And yet, you know, for all that, no one sees it. That's the amazing thing about the rapture. All of this is going on, and the world will not see one iota of it. You know, the world talks, and the scoffers talk about a secret rapture. Well, in a sense, it's secret, but they'll soon see the effects of it. You know, if Brother Ron's out there mowing his front yard and the rapture takes place, there's going to be a lawnmower running on that front yard until it runs out of fuel. You ever thought about that? You know, if he's down the road shopping, there'll be shopping bags on the ground. No person. The mystery will be, where did they come from? The amazing thing I see from the scriptures is that there are no comments of what the world will think when this event takes place. I think, personally, the whole world will descend into anarchy. You know, have you ever seen what happens when there's a major disaster in a town and all law and order is taken away? Anarchy, isn't it? Even good people descend into anarchy. If my front door is open when the Lord comes, I'm not going to say it's very long before somebody will be in there looking through the house. You see, the rapture of the church will not be a secret, but it will be unseen. That's the picture that we have here, without prior warning. Christ is the first participant in the rapture. The second one is the archangel, because it tells us in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians, it will be with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I don't know what that shout will be, but I do know that in Revelation 4 and in Revelation 11, there is a shout that goes up which says, come up hither. The amazing thing is that though that shout takes place, only the believers will hear it. It's a little like Lazarus, as we often say. Good thing he named Lazarus coming forth from that grave, otherwise every grave would have opened and come forth. It is a specific call for every believer in Christ. Come up hither. The dead in Christ are obviously involved, because they're going to be the first to rise. It tells us, then we which are alive and remain, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You know, the only participants in this event, and you have to make that very clear, are those that have been saved in the church age. That one new body that God established at Pentecost, that's been going on for almost 2,000 years, are the only people involved in this. Don't get confused with the Old Testament saints. It's the dead in Christ. The church age commenced with Acts 2, and it concludes with the rapture. Nobody else will be added to the bride of Christ or the church after the rapture. There is no evidence for that in the scriptures.